Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, beginning on page 919 of your Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. So likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know all these things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to give a special thanks to Ray and Judith, who've become very good friends with my wife Sharon and I, who are here. We're here visiting from Chicago area. It's an honor for me to be here in such an historical and beautiful church as yours. I was last here in the 1990s, the latter part of the 1990s, because my calling to serve Frontier Fellowship, a mission support group of our denomination, intersected with your passion for helping the people in the Balkans at the time, with Croatians and Bosnians and Serbians that were highly at war. And we were able to work together towards a more peaceful solution. Later, I intersected again with you in your passion to help the gospel be advanced in the Arab world, particularly in Egypt, where you've sent Nancy Fox and her husband Quinn many times as your representatives with the Outreach Foundation. Frontier Fellowship and Outreach worked together. And on one of those trips that I led to Egypt, Ray and Judith came with me. So they have in their hearts the beautiful Egyptian spirit, if I could say. And I want to also, before I get into the sermon here, bring greetings from Reverend Donna March, who's in Chicago now and has me preach at her church. She is such a wonderful pastor, and she sends greetings to you all. I know she was on staff here for many years. So if I understand correctly, the last two Sundays here have been dedicated to this one chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, which is just so wonderful that you're taking your time going through this magnificent chapter in the New Testament. And in the first part of the chapter, you concentrated on the triumph of the Holy Spirit over sin and death. And the middle part of the chapter, you concentrated on the future glory of a new heaven and earth for a groaning creation and the new resurrection bodies for ourselves. Today's verses will take us to the end of chapter 8 and into what I would call the depths of our faith. And what do I mean by the depths of our faith? This is when our backs are completely up against the wall. Our faith is being tested like it's never been tested mightily. When we are hurting so bad, we don't even have words to express our pain or confusion. Our bewilderment is beyond articulation. This is when the gift of the Holy Spirit prays for us in our groanings, in our sighs. God has given us Jesus, his Son, to plead our case before the Father. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be there with us when our backs are against the wall and our hearts are inching towards surrender. We have these gifts because we are children of God, born again into the family of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to pause here for a second and underline children of God. Why? Because I never knew, quite frankly, how unique that phrase was to Christianity until I got into an encounter group of Muslims and Christians in the Chicago area where we studied our holy books together, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to both of us what was true. And one person in my group said, we're all children of God. And to my surprise, the imam spoke up and said, no, we're not all children of God. You're children of God. You Christians are. We Muslims would never say that. That's too intimate. That's too close to our Creator. That's too presumptuous. So being a child of God is a uniquely Christian experience, and that's why we call God our parent. Have you ever been yourself in that place of groaning before God? Or how many numbers of times have you been in that place of groaning or sighing before God? I'm sure you can think of times in your life and have stories to express that. One that comes to mind for my own life was I came to a juncture 5 years after college in my business career. I decided to leave the business career and test my wings in what I perceived was a calling into ministry in the early 1980s. I was down in San Jose, Costa Rica, helping start a church, learning Spanish, and someone said to me, do you want to go to a healing service, a healing service for anyone who has something they need healing for? At the time, I had a really bad hip problem that I brought on myself from too much athletics and running marathons, and it was really bothering me for a year, and doctors couldn't figure out what the problem was. So I said, yeah, I'll go to the healing service. And when I got there, one person looked me in the eye, and all of a sudden there was a crowd of people around me. And he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal your hip? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. And he said again, second time, do you believe in Christ that he does these things today, not just 2,100 years ago? I said, I believe. And he said a third time, do you believe God can heal your hip? And it's very hard to explain accurately, but I felt the most incredible warmth around my body, and particularly my hip, even a white light in my mind. And these people prayed over me and healed my hip. And I was able to immediately run again. I was immediately free of this pain that I've been battling for a year and a half. It was an experience that cemented in my mind, I need to be involved in the global church. I've never been to a prayer meeting like this, and here I am in San Jose, Costa Rica. So I've dedicated the last 30, 40 years of my life helping North Americans be in the great diversity of Christian expression around the world, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so strong. And I bet you have times in your life that you could equally share when your back was against the wall, when you were at the end of anybody's suggestion what to do, you cried out to the Lord in a similar fashion. The other strong message we get from our passage today is the sense of being called by God, chosen by God, elected by God, predestined by God. Most of us have spent our whole Christian life wrestling with these ideas. They're huge. How could God, the creator of the world, be concerned with just me? And why me? He's elected us. He's chosen us. He knew before the world began that we would choose him. We all wrestle with this reality that God is the prime mover in our relationship with him. He chose us before we chose him. Hopefully, this reality makes us more humble, more grateful, more finite, and responsible to the amazing, awesome, beautiful, mysterious love that has suddenly descended on our life. This compelling truth became the cornerstone of the Reformation, that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn God's favor and love. No good works, no commendable actions can persuade God to have mercy on us. From start to finish, our redemption and salvation are free gifts from God's amazing grace. And this is what makes the verses in the middle of our passage today, verses 28 through 30, jump out at us. And may I quote one of those verses, 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. God calls us, chooses us, elects us, for two great purposes. Number one, for specific assignments. He calls us out of wherever we are because he has a job for us to do. Peter drops his net, Andrew drops his net, and follow Jesus. He says, follow me. I have some things I want to do with you. The same with ourselves. He calls us into assignments, into ministries, to serve his expanding kingdom in the world. And number two, he calls us to shape our character to be more like Christ and less like our fallen selves. These are the reasons we're called by God. For those of us who mysteriously and gracefully are called into Christ's kingdom, we know that God, in his mercy, has taken every single scrap of our lives, good and bad, tragic and joyful, beautiful and marred, and woven them together into a majestic tapestry, pointing us towards a glory-filled heaven and future. Look back on your own life. Think of the jungle of things that you traversed, and you're still following him. He's taking all those experiences and using them for his purposes if we surrender our will to him. When I look back on my own life, out of college for 5 years, I was an agricultural commodities trader, buying and selling grains and molasses and sugar internationally. God used those skills later for my being a commodity trader for the gospel, for the good news, putting together people from around the world that were stronger together than apart. And in the middle of this calling with Frontier Fellowship, as Ray said, that lasted 30 years, there was a calling within a calling into the Muslim world, into the Middle Eastern world. And how did all that get started? The tragedy of 9/11, the utter devastation and horror of 9/11 had an effect on the Muslim world that not everyone knew. Not everyone was for Al-Qaeda and their methodology and fundamentalist Islam. There was a whole swath of Islam that said, I don't think the Quran teaches that. I want to pursue a more peaceful, moderate route for Islam. That desire led a lot of people into the arms of Jesus. And they discovered his divinity. More Muslims have come to faith in the last 40 years worldwide than all the other 1,400 years back to the time of Muhammad. God takes our skills, our interests, and our talents, and he'll use them for what he's trying to accomplish in the world. And what he's trying to accomplish right now is for us to tell the world about the Prince of Peace. And lastly, in my current calling, I'm 70 years old now. In my waning years, I've started a new ministry, Encountering the Logos Ministry. Why? Because I feel like I'm going to take my mission skills and apply them to my own country here in America. There's a lot of moral confusion right now in our country, disjointed spiritual quests that need grounding in Scripture, grounding in the words of Jesus. And that's my hope for my remaining years. God uses every talent, skill, interest of ours for the greater purposes of making the whole world know about his love and good news. In our next section of our passage today, verses 31 to 34, Paul asks one of the most amazing questions in all the New Testament. He says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? In other words, God's love, seen especially in the power of his resurrected Son, is the greatest force or energy in all the world. Nothing can defeat it. Every time, God's love can defeat the slings and arrows of Satan in our fallen world. If God can incarnate himself and come to our fallen world and defeat the powers of death, what can't he do? We're the ones who limit the power of God, not God himself. I want to tell one of the most amazing stories that I've encountered recently in my mission work that I've just recently moved on to into my teaching ministry. But not long ago, last September, my wife and I, Sharon, were in Munich, Germany, and met a man named Merdad Sajadi, and he told us a story that will never leave my heart. He said that he was in the underground church in Iran, one of the fastest growing churches in the world today, and is undergoing incredible persecution right now. But he said that he went a little over the line in sharing his faith in Tehran and other areas, so the secret police jailed him and put him in one of the worst, harshest jails in all of Iran. And he said every day for 3 to 4 hours he would meet with his torturer, his interrogator, who would not torture him physically but mentally. He tried to brainwash him that everything he believed about Jesus was wrong and that he needed to return to Islam. And that his stance against the Ayatollah and the Iranian government was wrong. He needed to become a loyal subject in the Iranian culture. He said that he hung in there for many, many weeks and months until one time he was feeling weak, groaning, and saying, Lord, I'm losing my mind. They're taking my mind away from me. At this exact same moment in South Africa, friends of his who were South African, South Africans can go in and out of Iran easier than Americans, sensed there was something wrong with their friend, their dad. They knew he was in jail. They got on a plane and flew to Iran, found his jail, and walked around it for a week. This was the exact time that Merdad was losing his mind. They prayed into the jail, prayed that he would stay faithful under the most excruciating circumstances, and Merdad felt, all of a sudden, he said, in retrospect, I was about to break, but then I fell back into the loving arms of Christ. He didn't even know these South Africans were outside circling the jail. Every thread of our life, even torture, can be used for the kingdom of God. After this incident, 6 months afterwards, Merdad was released. He was asked to leave the country. He's now in Germany, starting one of the most dynamic ministries to serve the underground church in Europe of new believers that are being asked to leave Iran. God is using Merdad in powerful ways, but he had to stay faithful in the fire for that to be true. And lastly, as we get close to the end of our verses today, 35 to 39, we come upon probably the strongest statement in this chapter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. These last verses of our passage today say it all, that God's love is relentless, it's unstoppable, it's unbreakable. We should never think in our lowest moments that God has abandoned us, given up on us, or rejected us. If we continue to love and trust him, he loves us in return no matter what. And as Paul wrote to his Philippian friends in the first chapter of the book of Philippians, he said, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God has started his work in us. He's not finished with anyone in this worship service this morning, including my own life. He's not finished yet. He has more for us to do that he's started, and may we not ever limit every hour of our life for him. You see, Satan is ready to throw the kitchen sink at us at any moment in an attempt to discourage us and cause us great fear. He wants us to give up, curse God, so that we are prevented from reaching the promised land of heaven. Christians in the first century, particularly near Rome, often endured intense persecution for not recognizing Caesar as God. Paul was imploring the Christians of Rome not to interpret their calamity, their persecution, their hunger, or their destitute condition as a failure on their part or God's. On the contrary, these brave early Christians were chosen children of God, asked to sow the seeds of the first century church. As the famous saying goes, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Consider what they've been through on our behalf. And the same thing is true today in such places as North Korea, Iran, Nigeria, China, and Myanmar. Please be in prayer for the brave believers who are advancing the gospel under very difficult situations. Over the years, I've had the privilege of meeting some of the most dynamic, brave missionaries in the global church that I've ever seen. I would like to tell you the story of one such couple, John and Gwen Haspels, who worked as Presbyterian missionaries in Ethiopia with the Surma people for 40 years. They had the gift of perseverance and endurance during those very trying times. After 30 years, they were blessed to disciple only 10 to 15 new believers among the Surma. After 30 years, it was nevertheless a fledgling outpost for the gospel, a church. However, in 2020, an extraordinary event happened which changed the trajectory of this small church forever. John and Gwen were in a vehicle, a truck, coming around a bend. They've been around this bend many times before, and out popped three robbers who immediately started shooting at them. Gwen got hit in her face with five bullets. John somehow survived the barrage. He said he grabbed the wheel and just gunned it to the nearest hospital with his wife falling down on the front seat of the car. They make it to the hospital, and Gwen had surgery after surgery after surgery trying to save this disfigured face of hers. She lived, and today she's still alive. And as she was recovering, she had the opportunity to forgive the shooter, sat down with him, met with him, and invited him to accept Jesus into his heart. He was so taken back by receiving what he thought he would never receive, which is her forgiveness, that he gave his life to Christ, and the church exploded with growth because they had never seen such love or mercy in their lives. There's now over 200 people in this church today, and Gwen and John are still unbelievable witnesses for the love of God. They were called to a very high calling of suffering for the gospel. John and Gwen knew they had been chosen by God to bring the gospel to the Surma people, and they never doubted or wavered in that call. Nothing in heaven or hell, tragedy, sickness, or trial, death or life could separate the Haspels from the love of God. And the same is true for every single one of us called by God and who love God. He will never let us go, no matter how trying or tragic our surroundings may seem. He is cheering us onward to complete our two great purposes in life, to use every gift and talent and interest to expand his kingdom and his world in our lifetime, and to allow his Holy Spirit to shape our characters, no matter how painful or how joyful, into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you, and may you never lose hope in his calling for you to become a child of God, now and forevermore. Let us pray. God, we don't know entirely why we have this privilege. We don't know entirely why you've called us into such a joyful kingdom. But we're here, and we're thankful, and we're grateful, and we're wanting never to give up on you, and to ask you, what more in our life can we still do to respond to this great love and grace in our lives, to help you in your kingdom? We ask for you to be with us intimately as a child, in Christ's name, amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.